Church has long acknowledged the right of the state to use the death penalty in order to protect society. However, the Church has more and more clearly insisted that the state should forego this right if it has other means to protect society.
That is Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, Archbishop of Washington, speaking at a news conference yesterday about the death penalty. He and the other Conference of Catholic Bishop members are launching a media campaign to have the death penalty, foregone, we should say. Foregone in the U.S. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Welcome back. My question for you is this. Does the Bible require the death penalty? There's no doubt about it. The Bible talks about the death penalty. There are many instances of the death penalty. We had callers in the last segment who had all sorts of stories to tell about misuses of alternatives to the death penalty. Not to the question. The question is, does the Bible require the state to administer the death penalty? Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We've got some great shows coming up later in Holy Week, by the way. Tomorrow, The Humiliation of Christ. Dr. Stephen Hine will be our guest. Thursday on the program, a two-hour discussion with Pastor Matt Harrison on the Lord's Supper. Matt is in rare form for those 2 hours. And Friday, we'll study the hymn, The Lamb, with Pastor Will Whedon on Issues, Etc. I invite your friends, by the way, and your neighbors to tune into Issues, Etc. this week. It's open lines. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, to be fair to the bishop, he does several things. He acknowledges what the church teaches. That is, the death penalty is permitted but not required. Ergo, if there are alternatives, and he quotes the Pope and other bishops and various publications of the church, if there are alternatives to the death penalty, they ought to be used instead of the death penalty. Now, at one point, and this has gotten some reaction from our callers, where the bishop talks about, well, you cannot defend life by taking life with reference to the death penalty. I think at that point, he's probably opining. He's not quoting the Pope. He's not quoting his fellow bishops. He is opining. Now, someone called before the break with the passage from Jude, talking about certain people whose destruction is fit, with only 3 minutes there in the break, not in the book of Jude. The book of Jude is only 20-some-odd verses long, but it's not there. Elsewhere, I think, in probably one of Paul's epistles, where he talks about people whose destruction is fit. Now, here's the question. Is he talking about the death penalty? Or, let's look at it this way. I've got a neighbor who's never run afoul of any of the laws, but he's a gossiper, a maligner, a wrathful man. He's got all sorts of things going against him, and maybe he fits the list of people who are fit for destruction, a la Paul, to a T. But he's never been convicted of a crime. Now, in God's eyes, he's certainly fit for destruction, as are all sinners, by the way. He deserves it, but he's never been convicted of committing a crime. What do you do with a guy like that if that passage is really about the death penalty? Does the Bible require the death penalty? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, your answer to that question. Is the bishop right when he says, look, it's not required, it's permitted. And if we can find alternatives to it, and there is evidence that it's not being justly administered, notice the standard isn't perfection, but acceptable justice, we ought to use those alternatives. He doesn't mention it, but I think the one that probably fits best is life in prison without the possibility of parole. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's another question for you. Chew on this here in the remaining time and give me a call. There was a time, for some time, quite some time, when I was pro-life because I was a conservative. I was pro-life because I was a Republican. I would say probably up until about 10 years ago. You could safely say this. Rock rib Republican, rock rib conservative. But the pro-life issue was not a big thing. It was simply a position that the Republican Party took, so I took it. It was a position that social and moral conservatives took, so I took it. I had not thought it through. If you would have stopped me on the street and said, are you pro-life? I would have said, well, yes. If you would have asked me why, I probably would have stared at you like a cow staring at a new gate. I would not have been able to give you a clear, coherent answer. Because I was pro-life, because it was simply a position I took, because I was a conservative, I was a Republican. How conservative is talk radio? Terry Schindler Schiavo, the story's been around in the alternative press, and by that I mean Weekly Standard, American Spectator, National Review Online. Wesley Smith, one of our regular guests, brought it to our attention 2 years ago. That's the only reason we've been talking about it, because he was wise enough to bring it and keep it in our attention. And he's been writing about this for at least 2 years in National Review Online and elsewhere. The big boys in talk radio have only lately come to the Terry Schindler Schiavo story. In fact, I think it's safe to say within the last week. Now, it might have been mentioned by one or two previously, but in the last week, they have not, until the last week, they have not seen fit to make it a subject of discussion. How socially conservative is talk radio? And let me pose this question to you, and this is a tough one to deal with, but what if the big boys, Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, had been talking about Terry Schindler Schiavo for the last 2 years? Rush Limbaugh yesterday quoted Wesley Smith's book. I think he quoted from Culture of Death or the other one, which is Forced Exit. He quoted from Forced Exit. What if Rush had been quoting from Wesley's book for 2 years? Or, better yet, talking to Wesley Smith for 2 years on this issue? Would we be where we're at in the Schiavo case? Now, the judicial action that's taken place lately has been largely pushed by talk radio. Should talk radio have gotten on the bandwagon a long time ago? And while the blame, if we're going to blame anybody, we'll blame Michael Schiavo, his attorney, and the judges who have wrongly ruled in this case. So I'm not blaming Rush or Hannity, but I'm asking, could they have turned the tide earlier? Is it too little? Too late? Answer to this question is, talk radio socially conservative, or is the pro-life issue for them just another position they take because they're conservative? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. We start with Steve during this hour, calling from his car. Steve, welcome.
Hi. I want to talk about both points.
Sure.
The life, the whole thing of the death penalty and also the talk radio. First on the death penalty, I believe that there is a quote, thus saith the Lord, on the death penalty, but it applies to Israel in the law that Moses gave. It doesn't apply to the modern state of the United States.
Well, there certainly is many, there are many, thus saith the Lord, in the Old Testament that does apply, including adultery, idolatry, all sorts of things are fit crimes that would fit the death penalty. And that's just to name a few, not to mention murder and other things like that. Okay.
But my point is, I think sometimes what we start doing is this, thus saith the Lord, is when we start reading the Old Testament, we have to be very careful about understanding what is the law that's applicable to ancient Israel and what is applicable to us today.
You're absolutely right, Steve. Now, how do you make the distinction? This is the big question.
I agree. I think what it is, though, is we have to, this is where, because we're no longer Israel, after Christ, I think this is where, you know, Paul's coming in talking about the justice, you know, the sort of justice that civil government provides.
All right, that's a good explanation, Stephen. Thank you. How do you make the distinction between what laws in the Old Testament, and many of them did require the death penalty, some by stoning, what laws apply today and don't? That's a very basic question. How do you make the distinction? Well, you got to distinguish what law you're dealing with. Are you dealing with the moral law, which stands eternally, written on the hearts of all men, Allah, the Ten Commandments? Are you talking about the civil law applied only to Israel, which governed their daily life? Are you talking about the ceremonial law, which applied only to Israel? And all this law, by the way, is fulfilled in Christ. That doesn't mean it's abrogated. It means it's fulfilled and kept in Christ. But what laws of the Old Testament continue to have universal application? Some might say, hey, look there, death penalty adulterers should still apply. Adultery should still be illegal. It isn't, by the way. And we should still attach the death penalty to it. Let's talk with some people here, beginning with Ben calling from his car. Ben, welcome.
Hi. As far as the death penalty, I'm soundly for it, and the reason, two main reasons are, is when I began studying theology, I kind of advanced my understanding of how precious human life is, and the fact that we're not just spirits in a body, and if you shoot the body, well, it's no big deal. They're with God. But we are created for a body, and we're going to ultimately have a body when for all of eternity, and how precious our whole being is in itself is created in the image of God, and even our bodies are very important. As it's not us, our spirit, but it is very important. And that, coupled with the Old Testament commands, not that they are to be literally fulfilled as a civil law, because we're not Israel, but that they display the moral understanding. Well, God's morals, basically. And I'm sure God is just as outraged when someone murders someone today maliciously, just as he was then, and it probably is fitting because of that to put them to death when it is, you know, been proven that they actually did it. So,
does the Bible require the state to administer the death penalty?
I don't know that you can say that because, you know, like I said, we're not Israel, thus, you know, it shouldn't be a civil law directly, but I think that there is probably something pleasing in that to the Lord when we do that, and government fulfilling its role.
All right, Ben. Thank you, Ben. By the way, Steve did have a second point. He wanted to speak. The caller before Ben, Steve, did want to speak to the issue of talk radio. And Steve, if you want to call back, we'll put you right through because I cut you off a little bit prematurely there. Ray is up next calling from his car. Ray, welcome.
Thank you very much, Todd. Another couple of issues that I think need to be considered in relation to the death penalty is, first of all, the equity in which it is administered across the country, because statistics show that the poor are disproportionately given the death penalty over against the rich. Very, very seldom do we ever see a wealthy person getting the death penalty in America. And I think that in itself, you talk about the reverence for life that is supposed to be inspired by the death penalty, but among a lot of low-income people, poor people, uneducated, so forth, I think this creates a real cynicism on their part when they look at how it's so unequally administered. Then also the question of actual innocence. We know that now through DNA testing and so forth, that many people have been exonerated that previously had been given the death penalty. And I think, therefore, we should be very careful in just promoting it. We need to really consider that question. Are we actually, in many cases, executing people that are really innocent?
All right, Ray, this is the multiple choice. Does the Bible require, permit, or forbid the death penalty?
I personally would say that the Bible permits it, but I would tend to agree with the bishops on this issue socially in America today that we have better alternatives.
All right, Ray, thank you. Now, there's no doubt about it. There's a huge question mark as to how accurate the system, it's not the death penalty, actually, folks. It's our court system, how accurately we have been assigning crimes to individuals. See, that's a problem not with the death penalty. That's a problem with the courts. Now, someone might say, hey, if that's the problem, fix the criminal justice system. Don't throw out the death penalty. Maybe be more judicious in the way we hand it out. Now, there could be alternate explanations for the rich getting less death penalties. Maybe they commit less capital crimes. I don't know. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Mike calls from his car. Mike, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. Thanks for taking my call. I was wanting to comment on the Terri Schiavo case, and you know, I've been a Lutheran my whole life, and I am very conservative, especially on the issues of abortion, and you know, obviously think that is something that should not be legal. But you know, I've been pondering this case around in my mind for a number of weeks as it's become very popular, and listening to the same talk radio you have been listening to, I'm sure, and the lawyer show that's on 91.5. They're very into that in Washington D.C. and handling this case, I believe. And I was ready to sign that petition that they were having everybody to sign, and then I started thinking more about it, and I looked into the case more, and I kind of was wondering if it could be compared to someone on a life support system that's making their heartbeat just as she's being fed through this tube, and wondering, is there much difference between that and would be would taking someone off of a life support, I mean, I'm quandering whether this is bad or good, and should we not just leave this decision with the family? I mean, can we judge her husband? Let's give him the benefit of the doubt that for 5 years he's been, I think it was 5 years after she got this way that he was ready to let her go, and perhaps that's when the courts came in and stopped it, and the parents started fighting it.
Mike, let me see if I can clear up some of your confusion and perhaps clarify this for you. First of all, to the basic question that you've laid out, and that is this comparable to someone who's on a ventilator? Let's just use a ventilator, the machine that breathes for you when you can't breathe for yourself. Is this comparable? Because people are removed from ventilators. They cannot, and then they don't breathe for themselves. There is a huge difference between someone who cannot breathe and someone who can't feed themselves. And I think this is actually comparable to a baby. Terry Schindler Schiavo has reverted in perhaps her intellect, I don't know, but certainly in her physical capacity to an infant. Now, do we call baby food and formula life support? I mean, I guess if you're trying to be a weenie about it, you could, but is food and water life support? And then do we want to say, well, if you can't provide it for yourself, then the family should decide whether or not they will provide it for you? What would you make of a mother who said, hey, what's with my baby? I'd bring her home from the hospital. She can't feed herself. Fooey on this baby. I'm not going to provide life support for this baby. No. And I have a hard time giving Michael Schiavo the benefit of the doubt. You want to talk death penalty? Hey, I got an idea. Michael Schiavo says that depriving his wife of food and water is painless to her. There's another way of executing the death penalty. Let's just starve those guys to death. It's painless. I suggest it right now for all of those of you who believe that starvation and dehydration by the removal of these things is painless. That would make a great alternative to lethal injection or the firing squad or the gallows. Hey, the gallows, not a nice way today. The firing squad's going to hurt. Lethal injection, there's a lot of anxiety attached to that, apparently, according to Michael Schiavo. Terry's happier than she's ever been before right now. She's blissfully dreaming and going off to God. I have a hard time giving a guy like this the benefit of the doubt. This looks to me more like spousal abuse by proxy. Okay, that's I'm emotionally worked up over this case. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think it's comparable to someone on life support, artificial life support. The day when food and water become artificial life support is the day when we have to question whether or not we'll feed anybody who can't feed themselves. And I agree with you, Mike. We should let the family decide. And I think Michael Schiavo has disqualified himself from being seen as a fit guardian and as a fit husband. He may legally still be her husband and guardian, but I don't think he's fit for either role, and I think I'd prefer her family decide. Two questions on the table for you. Does God's word require or forbid the death penalty? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727 is Talk Radio, socially conservative. They have come late to a lot of these big issues like Terry Schindler Schiavo. They've actually followed the mainstream press on this one. Kathy calls from St. Charles. Kathy, welcome. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. I find it interesting where your conversation turned, because that's where I was going to talk about. I'd heard on talk radio it being compared to Terry Schindler Schiavo's case being compared to the death penalty, and that people on death row at least get the humane, quote unquote, way with type of euthanasia. But then I also had heard O'Reilly talk about because they don't have euthanasia in Florida, Terry has to die this way. I think he's probably, I mean, from that comment, it sounded like he was very, to me, liberal in his take, even though he's considered a conservative.
I think the term there would be technically libertarian.
Yeah. And I just think that it's a dangerous comparison, really, to make, because then somebody's going to take the leap, like O'Reilly does, to euthanasia. If there was euthanasia in Florida, she wouldn't have to die this way. And I'm thinking, why does she have to die if she's still able to absorb food and water and her body's able to use it?
And more than that, Kathy, and thank you very much, more than that, if there is one chance in 100 that she could be, say, like, let's go back to the comparison with the infant, and I can't get away from this. I can't get away from this. I think to myself, if I had a loved one, a wife, a child, a parent, who was in Terry Schiavo's case, how would I deal with it day to day? And I would have to deal with it as this person is now, they're big, they're hairy, but they have reverted to the state of an infant. And what do I do with an infant? I protect the infant. I care for the infant. I do everything the infant needs to have done for it. The only difference is that babies are cute, and big disabled people aren't. That's the only difference. If big disabled people shrunk in size and got really cute, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We'd be carrying around in diapers and feeding them a bottle and everything else, just like we do with babies who can't feed themselves or take care of themselves or dress themselves. Oh, my goodness. But I would say this, if there's a chance, one chance in 100 or 1,000, that she could be, that her abilities could be increased through therapy, and there are people chomping at the bit to do this free of charge, why not give that a shot? Why does death have to be the first choice? Well, I can tell you why. It has a lot to do with the culture we're living in, a la Wesley Smith and Pope John Paul II. It's a culture of death where death is always considered the best, the most expedient alternative. And the degree to which we are willing to buy into this, and we buy into it unconsciously. When we look at Terry Schindler Schiavo and we say, well, I wouldn't want to live that way, she must not want to live that way, ergo, let's let her die. No, that's the wrong term. I shouldn't have said that. No one's letting Terry die. Because she's not dying. She's not trying to die, and we're standing in her way. This is making her die. That's what starving and dehydrating someone is. Making them die, not letting them die, because she's not trying to die. When we come back, our talk radio hosts, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Laura Ingraham, are they socially conservative? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. How important, really, is the life issue to talk radio? I know it's real important in the last 36 hours. Real important. I wonder why. Is it just one of many issues? And only when everyone's paying attention is it worth talking about. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
One of the most interesting and influential theologians and teachers of the 20th century is also one of the most intriguing preachers of the 20th century. Dr. Norman Nagel is a regular guest on Issues, Etc., and our Issues, Etc. book of the month for March is the selected sermons of Norman Nagel, but this book is not about Dr. Nagel. It is, like all of his sermons, about Christ and Him crucified. This selection of over 50 sermons over a lifetime of preaching is $24.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org. There you'll find the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, selected sermons of Norman Nagel.
Extrasolar planets, consistent with creation? Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the Answers book. Well, Ken, what are extrasolar planets, and do they support creation or evolution?
Well, they're planets that orbit other stars and not our sun. Now, astronomers have claimed to find over 100 of these extrasolar planets. Now, these planets have not been directly observed. Instead, they've been detected indirectly, usually by the gravitational tug they produce on the star they orbit. But the principles being used here are really good operational science, the kind of testable, repeatable science that can be done in a laboratory. So we've every reason to believe that these are indeed real planets that God created. Now, these extrasolar planets are actually a problem for Big Bang evolutionary models of solar system formation. You see, secular astronomers had expected that other solar systems would resemble ours, with small planets forming very close to their star and large planets like Jupiter and Saturn forming far away. But almost all of these extrasolar planets are just the opposite. They are large Jupiter-sized planets orbiting very close to their star. This is inconsistent with evolutionary models of solar system formation, but it's not a problem for biblical creation.
Have you ever wondered if there really are UFOs and extraterrestrial life? We tackle that intriguing question in a free booklet available on our website, AnswersRadio.com. AnswersRadio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. According to the parable of the Good Samaritan, a traveler on the road to Jericho fell among thieves who beat him up and left him for dead. Later, a Samaritan came along and cared for the injured victim. In this parable, Jesus tells us to be sensitive to the suffering of others. According to the American Psychiatric Association, watching violence in the media leads children to be less sensitive to the real needs of real-life people. When children frequently watch actors getting shot or beat up, it's easy to start thinking that pain and suffering are no big deal. If you want your children to be more sensitive to the needs of others, reduce their exposure to media violence. And remind your children that Jesus is always sensitive to their needs. That's why he died on the cross for them. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
Holy Week offers a number of special worship opportunities, and AM 850 KFUO will provide a number of special broadcasts. On Maundy Thursday, we'll broadcast a live service from Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County at 11 a.m. On Good Friday, we'll broadcast our traditional Traore service from noon till 3 from historic Trinity Lutheran Church in Soulard. Live Maundy Thursday and Good Friday worship from AM 850 KFUO, inspirational Christian radio for the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 25 minutes of open lines left. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you tuned out before the break because now he's going to talk about Rush Limbaugh again, and you're tuning back in to thinking maybe he's changed the subject, no. I like to take your phone calls on two issues. First of all, the death penalty. We've had some callers on that. Is the death penalty required or permitted by God's Word? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Is it forbidden? Some might say it's actually forbidden. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The other issue is, how socially conservative is talk radio? And I take as my example of the late rush to the Terry Schindler Schiavo situation. Only after it's in the last gasps, no pun intended, of its story, and everyone's paying attention to it, do we hear an earnest discussion of it on conservative talk radio? How conservative, socially conservative, is that? The life issue, is it just one issue among so many that there's just not time to talk about it that much? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. More specifically, and not to just pick on Rush, but why does Rush Limbaugh talk about abortion so very little? And why did it take until, less than a week ago for him to discuss Terry Schindler Schiavo in an earnest way, really discussing the issue? Is it too little, too late? While we wait for your phone calls, our Issues Etc. book of the month is called Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel. I read but a bit from a Palm Sunday sermon, this one from 1951. This guy's been around a while. 1951. The good news never changes. God, instead of making an end of revolting people who in sin try to put an end to God, gave promises of a way out of death. It was the way that led through death that could not be avoided. The wages of sin is death, and God cannot contradict himself. There's no way around this death. Yet so great was the love of God that though it cost him dearly, he found the way by which this debt of death might be paid so that we might be set free from death. There's no explanation to this except that God, in unspeakable love, saw that it must be so if we were to have life. Another must die in our place. Now bear with me. Sin means death. Humans sinned. Therefore, death was coming to them. The only hope of being saved from that death was that another would die in their place. Lambs and goats were the prophetic substitute in the Old Testament. These sacrifices were pointing forward to the great substitutionary sacrifice for sin, the promise of God that he would send the Savior. Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching. All through our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, selected sermons of Norman Nagel. The book is $24.99 plus shipping and handling. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, right there on the homepage, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Are you disappointed that talk radio hasn't brought up the issue of Terry Schindler Schiavo before about a week ago, or 10 days to be generous? Are you disappointed in that? What would have happened? This is a dangerous question to ask. What would have happened had, as soon as guys like Wesley Smith and many others started writing about Terry Schindler Schiavo about 2 years ago in the alternative press, National Review Online, and other publications, conservative talk radio would have taken up the issue? Would this story have unfolded the way it has? How committed are these talk radio hosts to the pro-life cause? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or are they, as I was for so long, pro-life because I was Republican, pro-life because I was conservative? It was just another position I took because it was the position of the club. Bob calls from Benton, Illinois. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Brother Todd.
Hello.
On the issue of the death penalty, I haven't heard anybody say this yet, but, you know, the death penalty does bring everything to a conclusion. It's administration of justice. And by this, let's look in the aspect of God's perspective, okay? God in his grace will give that person the person is confronted with a definite time as to face death. And God will give him the time either to repent or not, okay, so as to administer justice. So anyway, it brings the whole matter into the death penalty, brings everything to a definite conclusion, including the family of the victims.
So you are making an argument in favor of the death penalty as a good way of dealing with the crimes. One question, does it forbid it, require it, or merely permit the death penalty?
It permits the death penalty.
What about requires?
Well, let's put it this way, and you think it might be a different subject. It's not, okay? Somewhere between 40 and 50 million innocent babies have died through abortion. Now, as I read my Bible, there's only two ways that God demands justice. One is through repentance. The other is through retribution. So far, there's only been a few of us that are repenting over the sins of America of abortion. Therefore, God in his mercy, and talk about being slow to anger, he has been very slow to anger considering the number of babies that have been aborted, murdered, okay? So I would say that God is the most just judge, and he will administer justice if there is no repentance.
Well, there will be justice. There's no doubt about that. And thank you, Bob. And, you know, I've never really thought about it in those terms, but I'm glad that you brought it up, Bob. What would demonstrate God's slowness to anger and his abounding and steadfast love and his patience, which can even discourage Christians? Do not think God's slowness is is due to his injustice. It's due to his patience, and we are the recipients of his patience as well. We are the recipients of his patience just as much as anybody else. Bob calls from his car. Bob, welcome.
Yeah, hi. On the Schiavo case, with all of medical science suggesting that she's in a vegetative state and cannot recover from that and cannot be conscious or act within that state, what is your reason for opposing removal of the feeding tube?
You say, Bob, all of medical science. What do you mean by all of medical science?
I don't think there was a single doctor that testified that they believed that she had any chance of recovery or that she had any chance of ever having kind of consciousness to react to anyone. Doctors have suggested repeatedly that even though they might have their eyes open, even though they might appear at times to smile, they call these sarcotic movements of persons that really have no consciousness whatsoever.
All right, Bob, there's a very simple answer to all of this. First of all, it's not all of medical science. There are dozens of doctors who have said, some of them have actually had an opportunity over against Michael Schiavo's wishes of laying hands on Terry Schiavo for a few brief hours. And they have said, there's a chance. It may not be big, but there's a chance that she could recover. So let's correct that little bit of factual error. But in the end, it's irrelevant. It is entirely irrelevant whether or not she can recover from this state. She still shouldn't be killed. It is entirely irrelevant, even if we could conclude beyond a shadow of a doubt that she will never, ever improve. That does not lead to the conclusion, well, then she must die. That's the conclusion Michael Schiavo wants us to draw. She's hopeless, therefore she should die. This does not, the position against starving and dehydrating her to death does not rest upon the possibility that she might get better. That's just, let's let her live so we could see that if she might get better. But even if she can't, that does not mean she should be killed. I will go back to my analogy of the infant, and I know those of you like Bob might find it a little uncomfortable, but if you found out your infant was never going to progress past the infant stage, would that be a good reason for starving them to death or dehydrating them to death? Hey, they're never going to get any more developed than this. I wonder what that sounds like to people who are genuinely disabled, because that's all that's happening here with Terry Schindler Schiavo. She's not sick. She's not, well, she's dying now. That's because of her husband's action. But she wasn't dying before they started starving and dehydrating her to death. Not sick, not dying, disabled. Profoundly disabled? Sure. So how profoundly disabled does somebody have to be to deserve to live? You see, it's irrelevant. It's a red herring, what Bob raises here. She may get better, she may not. I can guarantee you one thing, Bob. She won't get better if she's dead. That ain't gonna happen. And even if she is given a lease on life and doesn't get any better, but in fact gets worse, still no reason to kill her. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Steve calls from Kirkwood. Steve, welcome. Hi, Steve. Pot him up there.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was talking to my board up.
Okay.
We hear you now.
Okay. Your question was, does the Bible condone the death penalty? I forget exactly how you
well,
word it.
Actually, it's a specific question.
Yes.
Does it forbid or require or permit the death penalty? Those three alternatives.
In my opinion, it requires it.
All right. Give me some basis for that, if you would.
In Leviticus or Numbers, where it says men who have sex with other men must be stoned. Men who have sex with animals must be stoned, or women who have sex with animals must be stoned. To me, it's very plain. But the next question I would ask is, are you saying this because of our society that we live in, and should we, in our society, require the death penalty?
How do you answer?
I would say it should not be done as is currently done. in the Bible it says that those who witnessed the crime must participate in the execution. I don't think that that happens here. It talks about having two witnesses to a crime and that those two witnesses would then participate in it. I think there are more things to be considered than just, yes, we should or we should not have a death penalty. Personally, I would say, yes, we should have a death penalty, but with some modifications to the way it's currently being carried out.
Steve, thank you for the call. Well, okay, let's again make it clear. There's no doubt in the Old Testament there are many passages that in their context and at their time, black and white require the death penalty. Israel was not at luxury to not stone the adulterer. They had to do it. It was required by God. Is there any passage that makes that a universal command beyond Israel of the Old Testament, saying, okay, now every state, as they bear the sword, every state as instituted by God, a la Romans 13, must, not can, but must administer the death penalty? You hear proponents of the death penalty all the time. And by the way, I support the death penalty, just in case you're curious. You hear proponents of the death penalty all the time saying, it's required by the Bible. And all I want to know is, where? Now, you can quote the ones where we ought to stone the adulterers. But unless you're willing to see that be the law of the land here, your passage seems to be a bit inapplicable. We can't pay fast and loose. Let's all agree that Israel was bound by those laws as long as they lasted. And they had no choice but to administer the death penalty where God required it. Is there any passage that makes it a universal requirement for all nations? So Steve chimes in. What about the rest of you? 505-750-1800-730-2727. I'd like your answer to that question and to the question about conservative talk radio. How conservative is it really? I'm wondering nowadays because it's been 2 years that this story of Terry Schindler Schiavo has been readily accessible to anyone who even wants to know about it. And it has not been the subject of the big boys on talk radio. Now, in the last week, yes. When it's almost too late to do anything about it. Are these guys using social conservatives? In other words, are they the true believers? Or is this, you know, when it's, hey, the social conservatives, I just saw on ABC last night, they're talking about Terry Schindler Schiavo, I guess I'll talk about it. How important is the life issue to the big boys of talk radio? Given the fact how much they talk about it, 505-750-1800-730-2727. Maybe it's just one position among many. One position among many. And, you know, you got to prioritize. And since taxes, well, maybe it's not more important. The war, no, maybe that's not more important. Let's see. The borders, well, I guess I can't say that's more important than human life. But you wouldn't know it by listening to talk radio. 505-750-1800-730-2727. And I know you have an opinion on this. I am certain of it. Before we go back to the phones, there's a news release from the office of Congressman John Shimkus, who's a regular guest on this program. Keep him in your prayers, by the way, because John is recuperating from a surgery at a St. Louis area hospital to repair a condition. One, I suffer from, too, by the way. I hope this does not lie in my future. Severe mitral valve regurgitation. It just means one of the valves of your heart has a tendency to turn inside out and not allow a clean closure of the various chambers of your heart. It's a genetic condition. And he is expected at this point to make a full recovery. I wonder what they did. I saw a guy once as a parish pastor who had this, and they gave him an artificial valve that was a little ball and cage affair. And I walked into his room, and he said, Pastor, listen. And I could hear the valve clicking. Click, 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 click. It was really weird. So we keep John Shimkus in our prayers. 505-750-1800-730-2727. Bob calls from his car. Bob, welcome.
Hello, I'm calling back because you made the analogy between a child that would never progress beyond infancy and compared that to Ms. Schiavo. Do you think medically that really a child even a child that's retarded or limited is on the same level as Ms. Scheibel?
Absolutely.
And why do you think that?
Because they are helpless people who need others to care for them. What else do you need to know?
There's a difference between a child, for example. The child will be able to follow, you know, with their eyes, they'll be able to follow you. Somebody like Ms. Scheibel cannot do that.
Why is that relevant? Does that mean if she can't follow with her eyes, she should die?
They won't be able to. Any smile that they have is not really a knowing smile in response to anything because they are going through various, as the physicians call it, sarcastic movements.
Bob, how does that require her to die?
And what do you consider to be death?
Bob, how does
in
that require
words,
her
do
to
you,
die?
Do you ever believe there's such a thing as brain death?
I don't think it's relevant.
In other words, do you think that someone could continue to be pumped with nutrients and oxygen forever?
Well, it's not going to be forever, Bob. Thank you. Bob, you better watch it when you fall asleep tonight. Someone who believes as you do might walk in and test to see whether you can follow them with your eyes and whether you can respond or smile. Now, you're just sleeping, but you're non-responsive, at least at that point. You better watch it, because that person might decide that you're not fit to live either. I'm serious. Keep your doors locked, Bob. It is irrelevant whether or not she can respond to anybody. Her life is hers. She has not in any way that we can determine relinquished it. And her husband has no right to take it. And yes, she should continue to be fed and given water until her natural death. I don't know about brain dead. I'm not a doctor. But I do know the difference between someone who's living, being given food and nutrition, and someone who's had that deprived from them for a week or 10 days and is no longer living. There's a line I can draw pretty carefully. And besides, God is the one who gives life. He's the one who ought to take it in his own way. Michael Scheibel obviously doesn't believe that. Sarah's calling from her car. Sarah, welcome. Hi, Sarah. All right, let's talk with Molly, who calls from her car. Molly, welcome to Issues, Etc. Molly, welcome. All right, Molly's gone, too. I think we had a little snafu. Ladies, call back, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, some of you may have listened to Bob's call there and said, hey, he makes a lot of sense. It only makes the case all the more. That the culture of death, what becomes the solution? What becomes the solution if someone can't respond? They got to die. What becomes the solution if someone is unable to progress, follow you with their eyes, react in a way that you can be certain is a reaction to you and not just some sort of neurological reflex? The culture of death errs on the side of death. It's that simple. The culture of life errs on the side of life. Which culture do you want to live in? Molly calls from her car. Molly, welcome.
I appreciate the spirited conversation going on. I'd like to address the topic of are the conservative talk show hosts,
reportedly,
are they just, you know, coasting along with what's popular right now? As a lifelong Lutheran, back in about 1971, I was a counselor, family counselor, and I worked with abused kids, and I really thought, I was young, but I thought that they would be better off having never been born. And so when R.V. Wade came about in 73, I thought, you know, this is probably better than what my kids, you know, the kids I work with and had to go through. And then, of course, God revealed to me through his word in all kinds of ways that it was wrong. And, in fact, abuse increased 500% after that happened. So I regret it and I repent it. But now let's fast forward here to what we have today. Rush Limbaugh, for example, rather than ask if such a person has now jumped in too late to be helpful, I'm wondering if maybe we could be thankful that he got in at all. I was listening to him comment, I guess it was last, or maybe this week, last week, on Ashley Smith, and you would have thought that Rush was actually doing promos for Barnes & Noble, because he said, listen, you don't understand what Christians are thinking when they say she made statements like when they say God was there with her. He didn't. You need to find out more about that. Call Barnes & Noble and get Conversations with God.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
All right. He's trying. He's trying. And how do we know?
But Conversations with God is, Blackaby. Thank you, Molly. Is Blackaby is New Age nonsense. I am thankful that they're jumping in. I just wonder why it takes until the day of her death or 2 days before for them to jump in. I'm very thankful that they jumped in. I think they made the difference. I think they tipped the scales. So I'm thankful for that. I think it was driven largely by talk radios and the response coming from people who listen to talk radio. So I'm thankful for it. I'm just wondering whether it would have been unnecessary for them to jump in at all if they would have been talking about it long ago, and we would have had our lawmakers aware of it. Oh, there's a girl down in Florida named Terry Schindler Schiavo. The talk radio could have made them aware of it 2 years ago. I got the author of Conversations with God wrong. It's Neil Donald Walsh. It's still New Age nonsense. It's not Christian. That probably does more harm than good. I hope Rush Limbaugh's not reading that stuff. Look, we should be thankful even though they are late. And maybe too little too late in this case. But the question remains, and God love them for jumping in, how important is the life issue to talk radio? When Terry Schindler Schiavo is gone, will they keep talking about it? Will you hear abortion brought up again? Until there's another big case? The death penalty. What does the Bible say? It certainly permits the death penalty and puts the sword right into the hands of the appointed authorities. It does not require the death penalty. What does it require? That when that death penalty is administered, it is done according to God's will. That is, at least in the left-hand kingdom, His justice. That human justice, as closely as it can, and it's not a perfect system, mirror the justice of God. That it distinguish between the guilty and the innocent. That's all we can ask. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.